Luke 19 is a chapter that we've been thinking a little bit about these last few weeks in Latin America, and I wanted to just share a couple verses here from this chapter. It's right before it starts with Jericho, and Jesus and the disciples. They go into Jericho. They find this guy, short guy, Zacchaeus, up in a tree. And you know the story. Jesus goes to his house, and salvation comes to his house. And at the end of the chapter, it says, at the end of that story in Jericho, Jesus says, verse 10, it's Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for that, because I was one, and we were all lost. We were lost. We had no hope, but you came to seek us. So help us to have your heart and to do the same in Jesus' name and minister to us right now. And so the Son of Man came, to seek and save the lost. And as they heard these things in verse 11, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem. He was going to go in just in a few verses. What's going to happen is the triumphal entry, right? It's Sunday, and he's going to go to the cross 5 days from now, right? In 5 days, he's going to be on the cross. And so I think this parable is very meaningful to him. What does he want to say to the disciples, because it says he told them this because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And he said, therefore, a nobleman, the nobleman in the parable is Jesus himself. The nobleman is him. The nobleman went into a far country, heaven is the far country. He went into a far country to receive a kingdom for himself, to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. And two groups of people. There's servants and citizens. Servants, and I suppose that the servants are also citizens, but they have a special title, servants. The servants are you and me. The servants are the children of the king. He's telling the disciples this. I've read some commentaries that say that imagine that this is referring to the tribulation, but I don't think so, because he's telling this to the disciples because they're talking about him going and coming back right away, and he's saying, like, I'm going, but I'm not coming back right away. And you are the servants. And then we are the servants. And he says to the servants, he gave them an amount of money, right? He gave them an amount of money. But he said to them, I don't want to talk about the money, obviously. But he says this in verse 13. Engage in business until I come. And I think that's such a simple, direct, and very powerful statement. Engage in business. And by the way, this is verse 13, engage in business until I come. And in verse 10, we just read it. We already read, what is the family business? The Son of Man came to seek the lost, for so that they would be saved, right? The business, the family business, and you are the servants, right? We are the servants. And he says to us, what does he say to us? Engage in business. And the ones that engaged in business, I'm sure that you've read the parable, and the ones that engaged in business, they all get a reward. They all get a reward. And the one that doesn't engage in business doesn't get a reward. There's one out of the 10, 9 of the 10 get a reward because, not because of how much they made, but because they engaged in business. I don't know what it means to each individual. Like, what does it mean to you to engage in business? It's not, that's between you and God. But we engage in business. We do. I'm so grateful. I remember hearing my name called from the statue in Budapest in 1989, and I said, "How does Pastor Schaller know my name?" And I went over there, and he's looking out over the city, and he said, "Like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have a church here?" And I was looking out there, and I didn't really. But that was the beginning. That was the start. I didn't even know that was the start, but it was. I didn't realize that actually for a number of years after that. And I said, "Oh, that was when that, like, a seed got planted and it grew. Thank you, God, that it grew, you know. And thank God that He called us to a ministry that is engaging in the business, the family business, to seek and to save the lost." You know, there's another group of people in the parable, and it's not really my point. There's the citizens that didn't want him to reign over them. They didn't want him to reign over them. But you know, when you were born again, it was more than just you wanted to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I mean, all rational people want to go to heaven. But it was more than that. It was, you know, I mean, you didn't know what it meant, but there was this cry from your heart that said, "Yeah, I want you to reign over me because I'm doing a lousy job. I can't do it. And I need you to reign over me." And you know, the other portion, and I don't want to read it right now, I just want to mention it, that I was thinking about today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul talks about us believers, but he talks about the carnal believers. And he says to them, he says to the Corinthians, "You are carnal." But he doesn't tell them that just to leave them there and say, like, "So that's it, you're carnal, see you someday." But he's writing that because he wants to get them spurred out of that into spiritual life. But the way that he does it is he goes right into, I mean, you know the chapter is chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. He starts it with talking and telling them that, "I know you're carnal because of this, this, and this, and there's all these, like, carnal things going on in your hearts and in your relationships with each other." But then what does he do? He talks about the future, and he talks about Jesus coming back, and he talks about rewards. And you know, in chapter 6, he says to them, to get them out of this carnal mindset, he says, like, "Hey, don't you know that you're going to rule over angels? Don't you know that you're going to rule the world?" This is actually, we are learning, it's two things that are happening at the same time, and one feeds off of the other. It's the finished work message that we have. It's the grace message that we have. Thank you, God, and thank you to so many of our teachers who have taught us that. Pastor Stevens taught us that. Pastor Schaller, so many people teach us this, and I'm so grateful for that, that we learn and really and we hear it again and again, and we hear these messages that establish us in the grace of God, and we go back to it and we feed on it, and it's necessary. But at the same time, then there's the going. There's also the going. That's what I really love about MBCNS is that it's not, it's the idea that they have in the Bible College to encourage missions trips, to encourage, like Jonathan Mikkonen just came back from 5 months down in South America, and now he's going to do his last semester here at MBCNS and graduate. We have both of these things happening. It's the finished work, and then it's the taking of the message. It's missions, because Jesus said, like, this is the family business. Like, but how could you do the seeking the lost unless you have the message of grace? But then the message of grace without seeking the lost is empty too. So we do both things. I hope this makes sense to you. Does this make sense? I don't know. It makes sense to me. I'm a little tired right now. Hey, my dad is with the Lord. I'm so grateful for that. I met with my brothers, my sisters, and my mom, and I really do appreciate the prayers of this body for my family during this time. We met yesterday would have been my dad's 93rd birthday, and we met and celebrated on his birthday, and we sang him happy birthday. But I hope the message is a good message for your heart today. It's encouraging to you. I love you from South America, and my wife Karen is over here somewhere, and yeah. So that's it.
Let's just pray for the message and what a great word we heard from Pastor Stan. And Lord, we just thank you for the anointing tonight on this meeting. Thank you for the chapter here in Luke 19, Lord, and your heart for just chasing us down, seeking and saving that which was lost. And we just think of all the people across the world that are lost, Lord. People in big cities, people in the countryside, people that live in the mountainous regions or on the coastline, Lord. Just people all over the world that don't have you, Lord. We just pray that you could make us a little bit more like you, Lord. We just thank you and bless these few words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we'll just slowly go through Luke chapter 19, just the beginning, as Pastor Stan shared that beautiful message. Me and my wife, we recently got back from India. We visited India for Christmas, her family. We visited Bangalore, South India, in the center of the southern part of the country. We just visited her family for Christmas, and we were with the church. And the church in Bangalore is really amazing. They're just such a solid church, and they're so welcoming, and they have great preaching and teaching and amazing body life as well. I could start naming names, but we'd be here all night just with how many amazing people are in the church there. And they just want to send their love to you, Pastor Benny and Pastor Chris, Pastor Anil, and many others. They just send their love, and they look forward to coming for a convention. So I highly recommend, if you meet anybody from India, Bangalore, Mumbai, just get to know them. They're amazing people, and they love the Word of God, and they love people. So just a little testimony from our time is that we had a great time there with the church, and we're glad to be back with you guys. So let's read Luke 19 and just a couple verses. So Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And it says that he was seeking to see who Jesus was. And I just love that phrase. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. And I wonder how many people are seeking for God in the world, right? Job chapter 23 in the third or fourth verse, Job said, Oh that I might know where I could find him. Right? Job is crying out, oh that I could know where I would find God, that I would even come to his seat. Right? And we could just think about the people in the world and how many people are out in the world and they're seeking for God. They're wondering, like, how could I know God? My life is maybe they are a rich man. Maybe they're like Zacchaeus. They're a rich man. But they need to know something more. Right? They need to know something more. And this, the thing about being lost, Jesus said, I've came to seek and save the lost. And I just can't help but think of when we lost paradise. As mankind, we lost paradise. God, and it says in Genesis 3:21 that God drove out man. He drove out man from the Garden of Eden, right? And it was in that moment where we lost the paradise with God. And inside of everybody's heart, there is this yearning for paradise once again. There's this yearning for the fellowship with God. And it says that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not. And I think of that as well, like, are there reasons why people cannot find Christ? Maybe the government is harsh. Maybe the government doesn't let the Bible come into the country. Maybe people are chained by their flesh, or they're chained by the world system, and they can't find God because they're in their sin. Right? In 2 Peter 1, he says that the word of this prophecy is like a lamp shining in a dark place. Right? The word of the Bible is like a lamp shining in a dark place. And there are people who are in a dark place that need the word of Christ. They need the life of God. They need what we have in the body of Christ. And then later, it says, Zacchaeus ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus. And I love that point that Jesus knew his name. Do we know people's names, right? The person working at the pharmacy, or the person who works at our favorite restaurant, or the person who drives the bus, or the bank teller, or the person on the street that we meet. Do we know their name? Right? It says that God knew his name, Zacchaeus. He called his name Zacchaeus. And that's the amazing thing, is that people are lost and they're seeking for God, but God knows their name. And they need to know that God knows their name. Right? Is there somebody in Singapore who needs to know that God knows their name? Right? Is there somebody in South America that needs to know that God knows their name? Right? And he said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down, and he received him joyfully. I love this point, that he received him joyfully. And I love to think of my spiritual life as being measured by how much I receive. Right? In the parable that follows, Jesus is talking about how they engage in business and what do they do with what they've received, right? But we have to start with what we have received, right? And we have received everything from above, right? John 3:27, it says, everything that a man has comes from above. Romans 3:25, it says that he set forth his son to be a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith, right? We can receive that by faith. Our spiritual life is measured not only by the fruit we produce, but by what we receive from Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, it says that we have received all things freely, right? So I want to know what God has given me freely. And it says that Zacchaeus received him. In John 1, 12, it says that whoever received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's amazing. So Zacchaeus received him. And people are not, they may think that they need to produce something for God, but really we go and we tell them that just receive what God has already done for you. And that's the amazing thing about our mission. That's the amazing thing about grace, is that we're just putting forth what God has freely given. And that's what lost people need, and that's what I need so much. I need to receive what's freely given. And I love this point in verse 9, that Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham." And when we look into that phrase, a son of Abraham, we know that Galatians 3:7, it says, it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham, right? So what is Jesus saying? He's saying that this man has had faith towards me, and that's what makes him a son of Abraham. And this is an amazing thing, is that what do people need? Lost people, they need an identity. Right? Isn't there a huge identity crisis in our world today? Isn't there a huge identity crisis where people are trying to please each other on social media or whatever it is, that they're trying to put forth somebody that they're not to be liked? But Jesus said he's a son of Abraham. And when I think about that, I think of identity. I think of identity, that Jesus is assigning him an identity, that he is a son of Abraham, that he is righteous because of faith. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I just want to read this verse, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. This just comes to my mind when I think about being lost, when I think about somebody who's lost, right? Because there's the lost sheep in Luke 15. The lost sheep, maybe that could be that there's somebody who is a Christian. Like, they are a sheep. They are in the fold, but they're lost. So maybe there is a believer who is lost, who has gone away, who needs to be brought back. But then there is also the lost, the people who have not yet believed in Christ, who are lost. And in Philippians 3, verse 8, it says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." And here's the song, right? Amazing Grace. "I once was lost, but now I'm found." Verse 9, "and be found in him." That's amazing, that we were lost, but we're found in Christ. I'm found in Christ, right? Colossians 3, it says that you are hidden with Christ in God. The devil can't see us because we're hidden in Christ. Our enemies can't see us because we're hidden in Christ. And how do you see yourself? How do I see myself? A lot of times I find myself in my failure. A lot of times I find myself in my inadequacy or my mistakes or in the flesh. But this Bible verse tells us you have to find yourself in Christ. Are you in Christ? And that's what lost people need. They need to be found. But they don't just need to be found by a group of people. They need to be found in Jesus Christ. And that's what we present as we go, is it not? We present people that they are found in Christ. And then it says, "not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." And as we read Romans chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, we see that faith is very closely related to righteousness. Faith is closely related to righteousness. And we could confuse Luke 19. We could confuse Zacchaeus saying, I'm going to restore everybody twofold, and if I've defrauded anybody, I'll pay them back fourfold. We could confuse that and say, see, he did works before Christ said salvation has come. But no, it's not the works that saved him. It's the faith that he had. It's the righteousness that was imputed that produced this change in his life. And this is the message of the gospel. Not that we have to change first, but that when we have faith in Christ, it changes us. And we are found in him. We're found in Christ. And then if we go back to Luke 19, we can make two more points and close. But I just love this point that Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Today. I love that word, today. I love that word in John 5 when it says about the lame man, at once he was healed. I love those words, at once. At once. It's that means that it's God. That means that it's God that does it. Today salvation has come. It means that if we have faith, God does it in the moment. God could change us in the moment. And Pastor Pete said it in the 9 a.m. at the offering. He says, every time I try to change myself, it never goes well. But when God changes me, it's lasting and it's real. And it's the same thing when it's God, he can do it today. When it's God, he can heal us at once. Salvation comes immediately, and it's by faith, right? And I just love that we have a God that is seeking us. We have a God that can deliver us at once. We have a God that gives us an identity in himself. We're found in him. Our identity is in him. And it doesn't matter if there's a crowd between us and Christ, because he will come and he will say, I know your name. I've given you a name. I've given you an identity. I've given you salvation. And because you had faith, I give you my righteousness. And though you are lost, you can be found in me. And that's an amazing thing. And I'm just so grateful that we have a God that seeks us, right? He drove out Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:21. But Ecclesiastes 3:14, it says that God seeks what he has driven away. In John 4:24, it says he seeks those who worship in spirit and truth. And God is seeking us. And we just want to be found in him. So my encouragement to us tonight is gauge your spirituality on what you receive from God. And watch what kind of fruit he can produce. Just receive. Let's be recipients of the grace of God. Let's receive what's been freely given. And we can receive him joyfully. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's just pray. And I was on the phone last night with Andrew Gardner in Morgantown, West Virginia. He's doing well. He's discipling guys. God is bringing people in. So keep him in your prayers, him and Laura and Andrea, his daughter. He's just such a blessing, and we'll just pray, all right? Lord, we just thank you for finding us. Thank you for the cross, Lord, that the cross was that thing that broke down the barriers, that our sin was between us, the world system was between us. But the cross broke down every barrier. No time had to pass, no works had to be done on our end. But your cross was what drew us to your heart, Lord. We just pray for just this church, the pastors in the surrounding areas, the church members, the ministries that happen, Lord. We pray for the lost people in this world, Lord. And even if you feel lost in your own life with God, just know that you are found in Him, not having a righteousness that is of your own, but a righteousness that comes through faith. Thank you, Lord, that we are found in you. We are found in you. We would not make it if we were not found in you. We wouldn't make it for one second, Lord, but you found us. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. And if you're here tonight and if you've never heard the gospel of Christ, if you've never heard of the message of the cross, that Jesus paid for all of your sin, all of my sin, He removed every barrier in the way, and He said that, just receive me and you can be a child of God. You can be a son of Abraham as well. You can be in my family. And if you're hearing that tonight and you want to be in the family of God, all you have to do is receive Christ. All you have to do is receive Him. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I want to be in your family. If you're saying that tonight, could you just raise your hand? So we thank you, Lord, for this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.